from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan are live at 49ers headquarters with the team reporting to training camp today. Here are the 49ers head coach and general manager.
Noah, all tracking well, but we will start training camp with those guys on PUP. And after that, open up for questions.
Brandon, that Ayuk will be, or has Ayuk reported?
They still have another hour and change, you know, until, so I don't know if he is here, but we expect all our players to report and be here.
Has there been any understanding with him that you will continue to negotiate? Is there any, like, to get?
We've had great communication. You know, we started this really early. We made it a priority to try to get done. We've had excellent communication throughout. You know, really don't want to characterize. We haven't been able to, and that's a shame. But you know, we're Brandon's a big part of our team, and we expect that he will be this year.
Is there a possibility that you do some sort of restructuring like you did with Raheem Mostert back in the past?
Everything's a possibility. You know, we not gonna get into negotiations, and you know, as Kyle says, there's no absolutes, so we're open to anything. And you know, like I said, Brandon's a big part of this team, and we expect that he will be going forward.
Do you know yet whether he'll practice once he reports, or whether he'll
be? We expect all our players to practice.
John, last year you gave us an absolute that Bosa would not be traded. Would you make that same statement about Brandon?
Well, Kyle and I always, you know, we kind of I did say that with Bosa, and I felt that way, but, you know, I think, again, no absolutes there. We fully intend on Brandon being a Niner moving forward. We're always open to listen to things. But like I said, we expect Brandon to be an integral part of our team like he has been, and excited about that.
Kyle, Bosa mentioned last year that he thought maybe, obviously, a really long negotiation that did affect him during the season, saw his numbers go down. Debo has mentioned, you know, during his contractual offseason that kind of threw off his season that followed. Are you concerned that this could happen with Ayuk or anybody, but specifically Ayuk?
Anytime you, don't get a practice like you're used to, and the NFL season's real hard. So anytime you don't really get to prepare the right way in training camp, it's a challenge for all those players. And but tons of players have gone through it. Some have bigger challenges than others. Each one's different. You know, I don't remember Debo missing much. I think we got him done the first couple of days, from what I remember. Bosa, just, you know, the way a D lineman is, I think, is a little bit different. But then getting in football shape, no matter how hard you work out, it's tough. It's tough to catch up throughout the season. So both of those guys have their individual experiences with it. It never helps. But it's something that's not a new thing. It's something you got to deal with.
Kyle,
Kyle, when Debo requested a trade a couple of years ago, you were asked why you were confident it would work itself out, and you said that you have a personal relationship with him, and you hadn't even talked to him yet. Why are you confident that you can work things out with Ayuk if things get bumpy?
I mean, I don't remember exactly. And knowing you, I don't know if I exactly said that. But I don't remember. But, you know, I have a personal relationship with all our players. And we like to be able to talk with those guys. And usually when it does get close, it can work out. And I would feel the same with Brandon. I've known Brandon here for 4 years. I'm going in our fifth year together, and got a lot of love for BA. I think I'm close with them, and hopefully that can help, but it only can help so much. There's also business side to it, and but when you do have relationships with people, it helps.
You've only been able to work at these huge contracts for the star players, like those in Debo in the past. Has this been one of the more challenging ones that you've faced since you've come to Santa Clara?
I think it's important to note we're fortunate to be in this position where we have a lot of talented players, so you have to have these conversations. This one has been challenging. As I said, we set it out. We started it earlier than we have in the past, made it a priority, and there's a lot of dynamics. I'm not going to get into all of them, but there's a lot of dynamics as to why it's been challenging. And, the fifth year option is something we all sign up for when you have a first round pick, and that's been out there. But we've tried diligently to get this done. We haven't been able to get there. What I've learned from my past experiences for the last 7 years going into our eighth is that sometimes when you think there's no way this thing's going to progress, they do. Sometimes when you think this thing's done tomorrow, it's not. So you just keep going. You stay in communication, and you understand that it's a business. I've been in their shoes. I know where they're at. I know the challenges. I take a lot of pride in having things done so that our team can focus on the job at hand. And it hurts me when that's not always done at this time of year. So I understand that. But again, I think we're in a fortress. We've got a lot of talented players, and we've rewarded a lot. So it does become more challenging in time when you've rewarded so many players. So, That's also why this is a very good team that has such high expectations.
You're listening to the John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan season opening press conference here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Made it harder, and is there concern that this is pushing the price to a place that you aren't willing to go?
No, I wouldn't say that. And I I'm not going to get into the specifics. I think there's a privacy that is earned, and I always go back to I didn't like my business being aired out, so I'm not going to get into the specifics. There's certainly markets that happen and developments that happen that affect, but we also have our own roster, and like I said, we've rewarded a lot of players, so things do get more challenging. We put our best foot forward, but both sides have to come to agreement. We haven't been able to do that yet, and so where that goes, we'll see.
What do you expect the timeline to be for Ricky with that hamstring?
I think we feel pretty confident he's in a good place. We kind of work in blocks. Our thought is that he misses the first block, and then on that second block, but we're not going to put him out there. That's on our trainers, our performance staff, and we won't put him out there too early. On that note, Ben Peterson moved on to the Atlanta Hawks. We thank Ben for all his contributions. We'll announce formally what their titles are and all that, but Dustin Little, our head athletic trainer, and Dustin Perry will be taking that kind of in a dual role, and we're excited about that. Those are good people that we've got a good system in place, and those guys will be taking the reins.
John, with these extensions, it seems like you are comfortable taking your time with them as long as it takes. Other teams seem to be doing them as soon as a player becomes eligible. Why do you like to take your time with these extensions?
I don't. I'm impatient, and it's I like going. And I think, again, we've had a lot of really talented players, and I think put our track record against anybody in terms of getting players signed. I wish it could happen quicker, but I'm proud of our record.
One that you did get done during the offseason was Christian McCaffrey. How important was it for both of you to make sure you have him around?
He's a pretty good football player.
Very important.
Yeah.
It's always tough with all this stuff, just everything that the question you guys are asking pertaining to contracts and stuff, and there's That's a whole challenge that you got to understand the market and how that works in the league, and you also got to understand what works for our team and how to build your own team with it. And there's two things that you're constantly weighing, and it's not easy to figure out. And there's never an obvious right way or wrong way. You try to figure out the best way, and it's a lot of stuff goes into that. And to be able to get Christian here with what he's done the last couple of years and what we plan on him doing for the next few years, we're really excited to get that done and felt great about it.
From the outside, when a guy makes a trade
request, how much time do you think we
have? Other social media comments.
Before this is over?
It's not
going
well.
Okay. Do you want to go to the bathroom or something?
No, I just need water.
Go ahead. In worst case, it ends and I'll riff for a second.
An optimistic sign where he might be?
Yeah, I always want to be optimistic, Eric. You know, this has been a tough one. I think it's been hard to find that comment. Evidenced by us not having a deal in place when we both have tried, you know. So I guess we're going to continue to work towards finding resolution and, not optimistic, not pessimistic, you know, just going to keep attacking it and trying to find the right end point for each of us and, leave it at that.
Just a clarification on Pearsall. You said PUP. Is it NFI or?
NFI, yeah. Treated the same way as PUP, but because he did it away from here, NFI.
And how long is a block of a practice?
It's really like the first three,
4 days. Everyone in the league has to do 4 days, and then you get a day off, and he'll be in there. Hopefully, he'll be in there in the next three, at least ease him into there.
How are Kittle, Charvarius Ward, and Brendel coming in? Will they have any restrictions of any kind?
I will be smart with them, but I mean, they're all 100% healed and stuff. You just got to be careful how you get them back in. And
whatever question is next,
they'll have some days off
one.
And stuff like that, but they're all good to go.
All right.
The remark about Bosa, you said getting defensive linemen ready is a little bit different. How so?
I think each team's differently. Each team's different. But I would say, I'd say a kicker, you want to worry about it all because they're not tied to many other people. I think a D lineman, especially, with the four down scheme and the way we play it, it's a little more individual based and stuff. Now you got to get back into football shape and the movement and stuff. But as far as an O lineman, when you're moving in combination with the guy next to you, or sometimes both guys next to you, three people, and you have to zone stuff off, it takes longer to build guys together and things like that at other positions. D-line, not that any of them are good, I would say I'd put probably behind kicker at that.
John, do you have a date, a timeline that you would like to have Brandon's situation resolved?
No date, yesterday, we'll continue communication and, keep working.
As a coach, how does it affect to have a piece like Brandon, not knowing if you're going to have him, what day, to what capacity, the season? I mean, it's a question mark. How does it affect you and your planning?
It's tough. I mean, especially a player like Brandon. But that's something if I just found that out today, you'd probably see me a lot more of a panic. But it's something that you understand what's going on. I've understood that the whole offseason. It's something I hope that we don't have to deal with, but if you do, you got to deal with it. So you prepare for that and how you think, how you plan, and it's not something that you can let surprise you in my situation. So it's definitely not the ideal situation, not at all what you want, but it's something that you're prepared for as a coach, and you plan your team accordingly.
That is the Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch season opening press conference. I think you got most of the Brandon IU questions out of the way.
Yeah.
That's all I cared about.
All of them, I think.
Every potential angle was covered. So if you missed it, and thank you to the 49ers for streaming those press conferences live. If you missed it, neither John Lynch nor Kyle Shanahan could confirm that Brandon Ayuk was in the building, but they also said that players had like an hour left to get there, and they didn't know if he would be there or not. My big takeaway there was John Lynch seems genuinely frustrated by this entire situation.
Mm.
And maybe I'm projecting.
Yeah.
But he did not seem not that he was jovial about Debo and Bosa potentially holding out. Because Debo did the hold in thing. But you even heard somebody ask there. Last year with Bosa, he was like, unequivocally, he's not being traded.
Yeah.
And now this thing with Ayuk, he's like, well, yeah, you know, I did say that about Bosa, but we don't like to say that. We like to keep all our options on the table. I don't know. It just, it feels like this one has gotten, even though it hasn't been as public, I think behind the scenes it's probably gotten pretty hairy.
Yeah, I mean, when I was watching him, I thought it was more of he's still playing the game. He's playing the game. And I also think that we're like what we were talking about before. I think there's been like a genuine feel to Ayuk. And when you're on the other side, you're very much looking more and more like the bad guy when every other great wide receiver in the league is getting X amount of dollars and you're sitting here not paying the guy that you have, and you clearly screwed up by not paying him early. Clearly, like there's no question at this point, like you screwed up. You should have paid him early and like help set the market, not be at the back end of the market where all of a sudden it kept going up and up and up. And so I kind of felt like he's still playing the game. It's like, oh, Ayuk is here. I haven't really seen him. I don't know if he's here yet. You know, maybe he's here, maybe he's not. I don't know. And it's like, okay, like, look, the dude just pulled a major card on you. He showed up.
Yeah.
And now you got to respond. And how are you going to respond? And so I think, you know, putting it out there that, trades are always possible. Like, he's just playing the game. And, and I do get what he's saying where he's like, hey, look, I went through these things and I went through these negotiations on the other side. But sitting there and acting like you don't like to drag these things out, that's just disingenuous because you're the team that always does this.
Right. He's like, he said in there that he doesn't like taking his time with these extensions. Like, he's impatient. But, hey.
Then pay the dudes early.
Right. But they don't do that because Parag Marathe, their cap guy, really can't. And it's a team. It's not Parag sitting there just with a computer. Yeah. There's a team of people. But Parag Marathe, their cap guy, is I think part of the I'm just going to say, I don't want to say problem, reason that these things go so long. And I think the Niners and Ayuk, I don't think it's like they're $10 million apart. They're a couple million bucks apart. But hey, they're a couple million bucks apart right now, but could they drag Ayuk down so the Niners are actually only paying like $500,000 more than they want to per season on average? Can they get it down to, can they pull him down to his number? Okay, no, can we, okay, what about a million? Like just, it's every single little thing. They're going to try and squeeze every little piece of value out of this negotiation. And apparently, according to reporting from Mike Garofalo at NFL Media, the Niners haven't been in like deep contract talks with Ayuk since May. So Lynch said they started earlier. Well, then why did you stop? What? Why are you not at the table every single day trying to hammer this thing out?
And when Ayuk called a meeting of the minds himself and came in and sat down, like why did that not fire, reignite the conversation? Or are you just so far apart that it's crazy? I think one of the interesting things that I learned during this process, which you brought up, is the escrow account thing. Like,
I think it's Nick Wagner from ESPN who gave us that.
There was like, so whatever it is that you have to, like the guaranteed money.
Yes.
So if it's $75 million guaranteed money, that has to go in an escrow account like right now. That's crazy.
Yeah, and that's why when you hear an NFL team is more willing to spend, it's not that other NFL teams are afraid to go up to the cap. It's that. It's, hey, are we going to pay all this guaranteed money for a team that's going to win six games? And just have this money? Because you don't, even though the York family has a hilarious amount of money.
Yeah.
Tying up $75 million, even $75 million in escrow is like a drop in the bucket. But it's also $75 million. I'm guessing most people, let's call it $100, can afford to stash away $100. But you're not going to love just, here's $100. I'm just going to go set that over there now. And I don't get to have this anymore. or $500 or whatever. Pick your means. Like, it's not a fun thing to do, but yeah. The 49ers have been willing to do it. But I do think that that's part of this too. Maybe it's not the per year. Maybe we're all stuck on Ayuk wants 30. The Niners want to give him 26. Maybe it is the guaranteed dollars. Maybe Ayuk wants $95 million guaranteed. And the Niners are going, we're about to give Brock like a lot of guaranteed money.
Yeah.
And that's going to, we're going to try and knock this down. I don't.
That's like a really big wire transfer.
Yeah, it should. Yeah,
that's like, holy cow, that's a big wire transfer.
It's just not. So we say all this to say, we talk about negotiations and getting to the table and hammering it out. But at the same time, it's not Ayuk going 30 and the Niners going 26 and Ayuk going 29 and the Niners going 27 and them going, oh, okay, fine. How about 28? Okay, yeah, kumbaya. There are so many things that go into these deals.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether they're front loaded or back loaded and guaranteed money, and there are so many different machinations. The issue is all these other teams figure it out well before training camp. The Lions got their quarterback re-signed or extended, their left tackle extended, and their top wide receiver extended, all within the span of like a month.
Mm.
And the 49ers are here, and they, for whatever reason, can't figure it out with Ayuk. And now their GM is going, yeah, hey, this is, I don't like this. I'm impatient. I want to get this. You know, we started earlier than we normally do. Then what's the hold up?
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
Yeah, it's really difficult because you look at all of the other wide receiver contracts,
mm-hmm.
and it's not like you're in uncharted territory. Mm-mm. It's straight up. You can see what the other guys are getting. The breakdowns of what all these other wide receivers are getting is like readily available to them.
Yeah.
So where Very is easy. It? Yeah. It's like it just does seem like maybe you take the top six guys and you come up with a like an average, whatever it might be. Like, I don't know. It, to me, it's very strange.
Give him 4 years, call it 4 and 120 is 30 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So call it 4 and 110, right?
Or 108. Okay.
Is that, call it
27.
So call it 4 and 110. With $60 million guaranteed, that'd be the second most guaranteed money of any wide receiver.
Oh, okay.
And depending on how you structure that, that could be a 2 and 30 year deal or whatever. Whatever it is.
Yep.
That's I wouldn't be surprised if that's more of the holdup than the average annual value.
Yeah.
Because everybody knew right away that Amon-Ra St. Brown's $30 million a year, as soon as the structure came out. Everybody went, well, it's more like 26 and a quarter, whatever the exact number is. It's not actually 30 a year. So get in that 27, 28 range. Give him, Tyreek Hill got $52.5 million guaranteed. Justin Jefferson got $88.7 guaranteed.
Mm.
Call it 55, call it 60. I don't know. I don't think it's that difficult.
Yeah. It shouldn't be.
They made this harder than they need to. All right.
Yep.
But apparently Brandon Ayuk is in the building. I'm putting the ball in the 49ers court. So we will continue keeping track of that as the season progresses. The 49ers reporting to training camp today. Practices begin tomorrow. We have some pre-training camp power rankings from the Athletic, NFL power rankings.
Yep.
That is not MLB. pre-training camp power rankings from the Athletic that we'll run through. And then I want to continue this USA Men's Hoops convo that we were having before the break as well. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. The handoff coming up today in about 20 minutes. Damian Barling will be in with us on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, shout out to Complex over at KSFM for this shirt. It says they're not like us. Oh, KSFM logo on it. What? Trying to do anything in a camera is because it's like reverse.
Yes.
It's a tough look for your boy. Struggling over here. Dodgers beat the Giants last night. That's what we were talking about at the break.
Yeah.
Teoscar Hernandez, look, real quick. I don't want to spend a bunch of time on the Giants-Dodger game. Didn't go great for the Giants. The Giants struggling since the All-Star break. Sounds like they're going to stand pat at the trade deadline, which is the most boring possible thing, which tracks. Teoscar Hernandez, because I've been watching the Dodgers a lot this year, because I've been covering them for the sporting news, or blogging about them for the sporting news, I feel like in baseball, it's really hard to take over a game, right? Like in basketball, I was just watching highlights today in Will Z's piece over at the SI King site. He wrote about DeMar DeRozan and the dribble handoff, and there was a highlight package from DeMar DeRozan's game against the Kings this year here in Sacramento, where he went 7-for-7 with 19 points in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, man, it's just you. The NBA guys are uniquely positioned to take over games like that. And in football, sometimes you'll see a defensive end, Khalil Mack, with the Raiders during the, was it 2016 season that Carr was an MVP candidate? I think it was 2016.
Yeah, I think so.
And Khalil Mack, at one point of the year, just end of games, he was taking over. Like night.
Yeah.
There's nothing an opposing offense is going to do. Khalil Mack is getting a strip sack and the game is going to be over. In baseball, I feel like it's a lot harder for guys to do that. Sometimes you'll see a pitcher for sure, but offensively, it's pretty rare that one player single-handedly just kind of takes over a game and wins it.
Well, that and now you can just point to first base. Like, you, why don't you just go stand on first base so you don't beat me?
Yeah, yeah. I'm done pitching to this guy.
Yeah, that guy first base now, please.
So, Teoscar Hernandez last night has a solo home run that tied the game at one. He gave the Dodgers a 2-1 lead with a single up the middle. And then he won them the game with a base hit as well. He had to get what wound up being the game-winning hit with a base hit as well.
Yeah, like when a player gets hot, I mean, obviously, you have to wait your turn in Major League Baseball. So if there aren't players on base, you can't knock them in. I mean, you can clearly hit a home run. But
sure.
You know what I mean? But you're just sitting there waiting and waiting. Can we get to this player?
Right.
And I do think, like, the element that you can just point to first base, it's funny, but at the same time, like, you can kind of wipe out a player. Like, when people are like, man, Ohtani just keeps beating us, it's like, okay, well, why do you keep pitching to him? Like, because forever, I mean, like, Barry Bonds, how many intentional walks did he take? The one season was, like, in the 90s, or maybe he had 100 intentional walks?
Mm-hmm.
This is team was going, hey, just... And even then, they had to throw four balls outside.
Sure.
A catcher standing out there with his glove.
I think it's because with Ohtani specifically, in the Dodgers lineup, there's just not a lot of dudes that, and as good as Ohtani is, and I think he's great. He is the best player in the sport right now. As good as he is, he's not prime Barry Bonds. He's not what Barry Bonds was in the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, in that Dodger lineup, you walk him, okay, then it's Will Smith, or it's Teoscar Hernandez, or it's Freddie Freeman, or whoever happens to be batting behind him that day. And it's just not a super easy thing. And when Mookie Betts comes back, it might be, if Ohtani stays in the leadoff spot, maybe it's Betts. Like, there's not a ton of guys that you would rather pitch. It's like, all right, we'll just try and get him out. And he strikes out a lot, Ohtani does, so you just, hey, you try and get him to whiff, I guess.
I guess.
But, no, we saw a team the other night. There was a runner on third with one or two outs in the... Oh, it was the Red Sox. The Dodgers had a runner on third with less than two outs and Ohtani at the plate in a tie game in the 11. They just walked him.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, you're not going to walk Teoscar Hernandez. Like, it's not like he's batting 480 this year or anything.
No, he's batting 268. He's got 116 strikeouts, so he strikes out a ton.
Yeah, strikes out a ton. He's gonna bop some home runs. He won the home run derby.
Yeah.
But he's not the kind of player that you're going to go, yeah, we'll just walk him to get to, I think it was Freddie Freeman batting behind him last night.
Yeah.
That's not a thing you want to do.
Nope.
So, yeah, it's tough. Anyway, tough loss for the Giants last night. They've lost 3 of 4 since the All-Star break. We will we'll talk a little bit more about the MLB trade deadline as it gets closer. A week from today, actually, is the Major League Baseball trade deadline. We'll see if the A's or Giants will be active.
Active. By active, we mean if they have a garage sale sign out. They have like the red and white sign sitting out front.
I don't think they're going to be buying.
No.
I'll tell you that.
No. And I mean, will the A's, instead of a garage sale, will they have like a moving sale? Estate sale?
Dang.
Tough. Tough look.
It's really tough. Where were we? We were talking with something about men's hoops.
Oh, the Team USA team.
Yeah. But I can't remember. We put a pin in something and I couldn't remember what it was.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely are playing against a lot more NBA players internationally than they were in the past. And it seems like every year it's more and more and more. What do we say, 61 players?
61 dudes.
Yeah.
Compared to 9 when the Dream Team was making their run.
Yeah. What do you think, Canadian national, do they legitimately have a shot?
I think, look, based on how Team USA looked against South Sudan and how they looked against Germany, I think Canada has a real shot at them.
Mm-hmm.
Because look, the argument against it is, well, look at how talented Team USA is. It is. Do you know how ridiculous it is? I said this on Twitter the other day. So if you read that there, I apologize for repeating it, but that's a joke. Sorry, that was a bad joke. I don't think that people are sorry. It is ridiculous the amount of talent that Team USA has. That Derek White, who is awesome, gets added to the team, and it's like controversy. The fact there is so much talent with Team USA basketball that they had a player who, Derek White, would be the best or second best player on like every other team in the tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe he's a top three guy, I think, on every team in the tournament.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I think Serbia is the one team that you look at. Well, Serbia and Canada. Mm-hmm. You're going to look at Canada and say, okay, they've got some really, really high-end players. Shea.
Lou Dort.
Wiggins is there, right?
No.
Oh, he's not.
He's not playing.
Okay. They have only.
And it's Wiggins. Trey Lyles. Andrew Wiggins is not better than Derek White.
No, that's true.
So Trey Lyles not better than Derek White.
No.
So I think he's a top three guy. And Team USA gets him, and it's like, is that really the best we can do? Oh my God. But anyways, I think the argument against it is Team USA is just most talented team by a lot.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a question. If you just went player for player, Team USA has I don't know, 8 of the top 15 guys in the tournament. We'd have to go through it, but whatever it is. But you see how South Sudan played them. You see how Germany played them. And it's like, hey, would you be shocked if Canada got them? Or if France got them?
If some other team got them before the finals? Yeah, I would not be shocked. At this point, the way they're playing, all right. They have the ability to crank it up and you know, just be much better than everybody else. And I'm sure once we get into the tournament, we're going to see a couple of 130 to 72 games and stuff, mm-hmm. and it'll be like, oh, okay, they're back.
So they are favored. So so Serbia to win the whole thing has the fourth best odds at 16-1.
Mm.
So that means you bet $100, you win $1,600 if Serbia wins the whole tournament. They're behind USA, Canada, and France, and then it's Serbia at 16-1.
Yeah,
the United States is in Serbia's group. They face Serbia in their first game on Sunday.
Yeah, the group play. That's going to be interesting.
Take a guess at the point spread in that game. I'll give you Team USA favored, obviously.
11.
Keep going.
It's higher?
Higher.
18?
Not lower. 15.5 points.
Whew.
The United States is favored over Serbia.
Ooh.
15.5.
That's crazy.
And I know they just played them in the showcase and pulled away and... but 15.5 points against a team with the fourth best odds to win the whole tournament?
And a team USA, they're just not playing well.
I don't trust them, man.
Yeah.
And like I said, maybe they, Kevin Durant plays and they shore up their rotations and it's less Joel Embiid, it's more Anthony Davis and Bam Adebayo, mm-hmm. and they're just this defensive juggernaut. Nobody can score. Maybe. I got to see it though, man. I don't trust it yet.
I find it very strange that they're so close in these games. It should not be that close. I mean, Germany's got talent.
Mm-hmm.
South Sudan, though, like, not to be disrespectful, like NBA players, there's not a lot there.
Sudan is 125-1 to win the tournament.
Well, yeah, and what are they ranked? 35th in the world? Like that?
They belong in the Olympics.
Yeah.
But they're not, they Team USA should not be having to foul them and get no call at the end of the game to win that game.
Mm.
Like that, they got outplayed flat out.
That would have been such a earth shattering. Oh,
it would have been
goodness.
Monumental. Even though it was monumental that even with the loss for South Sudan.
Yeah.
Because there's two tracks with this, right? And this goes for the whole tournament. This isn't just the USA South Sudan game, but there's the track of, wow, what is Team USA doing? But there's also the track of, holy crap, the rest of the world is catching up super fast.
Yeah.
It's been happening, and now it's like, it is here, dude.
Well, and it's not just the rest of the world as in Canada and France and maybe Spain and Serbia.
Eastern bloc countries, yeah.
Yeah. Now it's like, oh, like the basketball is getting real in the South Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's big. I think it's great, though. It's great for the sport. And you know, like, shout out to the NBA for helping build some of this with their academies that they've done throughout the world and given a place for some of these young players to sort of grow and become who they can be.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it's kind of cool to watch.
Soren Smith in the Chatty House. YouTube.com/ESPN1320 if you would like to participate. Also, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Says Steve Kerr's rotations are pretty questionable at times, too. Great point, Soren. Couldn't agree more.
That's right. And then,
boy,
Ramsey brings up South Sudan has zero indoor basketball courts in their entire country.
Man.
They don't have an indoor basketball court.
It's incredible.
Only outdoor.
Incredible.
Totally.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. And that's the thing is, if Team USA doesn't win it, as long as it's not Canada, it'd be like, that's kind of cool. Good for good for whatever country winds up winning it. As long as it's not Canada. My disdain for Dylan Brooks runs so deep.
Oh,
be cool for Jordy. Be cool for Trey Lyles. Love Lou Dort. Big Shea Gilgeous-Alexander guy. But Dylan Brooks, I'm a hater. And the Dylan Brooks disdain outweighs all of that. All of that love.
I didn't even think about that. I want to see Trey Lyles medal. If they medal, like Trey's got to bring in the medal.
To Sacramento?
Yeah, like into the I want to see it in the locker room, like that.
No,
would
it's
be...
going in a vault or a safe.
Oh no, he'll bring it in.
Really?
I don't know.
If they are the bronze medalist, he's gonna pull up with his bronze medal.
I think he would bring it in for a day. I don't know.
Would you request it?
Oh, I would ask him. Oh yeah, I'll ask Trey.
Can you bring your medal with you?
Hey Trey, can you bring in the medal? I want to see an Olympic medal. That would be really cool.
I know it's different once you've been an Olympian and you've been an Olympic athlete.
Yeah.
Because you get the tattoo and that's your thing. Like you get the tattoo and that's it. And once you have dedicated your life to that, you think about it differently than a schmuck like me does.
Yeah.
Where I'm just sitting here, I'm just watching. I'm like, this is the coolest thing ever. And the people who do whatever sport they're doing at that level are like, this is a job. Mm. I'm going to be awesome at this. I'm going to win. I am super competitive. If that was me, if I won a gold medal or any medal, I would wear it every day of my life.
Just like walk around
with
it.
You'd be
like D-Lo and Casey with her.
You would not
shirt unbutton.
Find a day. Yes. I would be wearing the blue button up that Damian's wearing right now. 3-button maximum. Really well done by you. 3-button max with the medal.
Olympic on. Gold medal.
With the gold medal on. Damian Barling jumping in here for the handoff. We were just talking about, well, Team USA basketball, and James is saying he wants to see Canada medal. So Trey Lyles will bring in his medal.
Okay.
And I was doubting whether Trey Lyles would even have it on his person to be able to bring it.
He doesn't strike me as someone who would.
But you don't think if James went, hey, I would like to do a story on your medal. Can you bring it in so I can see it? Or, hey, I think that's a really cool thing. Can you bring it in so we can see it? Or is it in whatever place Trey Lyles stays in the offseason, whether it's here or elsewhere?
I think... Oh man, that's tough. It's probably he probably isn't traveling with it. Like he'll probably, you know, will give it to his parents or leave it locked up somewhere. Or
that's what I think.
It's not really something.
I think we can talk him into bringing it one time.
Some people will put it in a security box and
just leave it there.
Yeah,
because you can't sell it, right? Isn't it illegal to sell it?
Oh,
I don't know about that.
I thought it was you could donate it to a museum or whatever, but I thought you couldn't sell Olympic medal.
I'm not aware of that. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I know at one point.
I don't know what value an Olympic medal has, though.
It's a bunch of gold.
I think
not.
It's just plated. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not. It's not like you're getting handed a solid gold.
I think it is.
Okay. That's okay. What you're sticking with.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I do know that we had a
there may have been one just sitting around the house at one point in my life, but yeah, like it's I don't think is what people think it is.
Okay.
It's more like what you did to get it. Like it's the process of earning that medal.
Right.
That's the value, but like the dollar figure value, I don't know that's that.
I know we had a situation one time in the locker room where guys were talking trash about something, and Corey Brewer said, oh no, I got two rings and I'll bring him in because he has his NCAA championship rings and brought in his championship rings to talk trash, but not an Olympic. I don't think I've seen an Olympic medal.
Yeah, I don't think you can do that. I don't think that works on trash talking. Like, yeah, I got this Olympic gold.
Oh, I don't know. Thing. I would just like wander around. And someone brought up Gilbert Arenas. First of all, I don't care what Agent Zero.
Yeah, Gilbert Arenas sucks.
I don't care what he's saying about South Sudan, or I don't want to even hear him.
He's just a bad person.
Yeah, and the fact is, he's the dude who walked into an NBA locker room with two loaded guns. Correct. And yeah, so we're talking about people who would walk in with cool stuff, just so.
When you Google, can you sell an Olympic medal? Mm-hmm. First thing that comes up, rrauction.com. Sell your Olympic memorabilia. A gold medal is a pinnacle of achievement in sport. RR Auction offers Olympic medals for sale at least twice a year in dedicated Olympic memorabilia auctions, typically held in January and July.
So I'm guessing it's not illegal.
I don't think it's illegal.
I also think the idea of selling, like, again, it's not the value of the medal.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
this was Carl Lewis's long jump
right.
medal from 1984.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's going to have more value than, you know, the goalkeeper in the water polo match.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's going to have more value than his. Like, there'll be a
at least
historical
here.
Significance to it.
Try to tell someone in Croatia that.
Okay, right. Very true. No, very true. And but it's not the actual, it's like buying Tupac's driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the link to someone
that
people get excited for.
For sure.
Well, that, and I would also think that, like, winning an NBA championship, I think a lot of people would put up there or higher. Well, especially since there are players on a team that can win an NBA championship who can't go win a gold medal. So maybe the guys, the group of guys that go win gold medals for Team USA, the basketball players, that's one thing. But it can be one of many achievements for them.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, the fencing dude, like, that's the pinnacle of your sport.
Yeah,
it doesn't get
absolutely.
Any bigger mm-hmm. or better yep. than that. So if you have one of those and you're in that world,
mm-hmm.
it's like the biggest thing you could possibly do. You know,
yeah.
the gymnast, like mm-hmm. the build up to being in
the Olympics is it. Yeah,
it is. It is the pinnacle of your sport. Where I'm not sure that I still feel like that
it's
winning
not,
it is.
Well, I think winning is, but I think it's another achievement. Like, a gold medal will be another achievement for Steph. It'll be
yeah.
another achievement for LeBron. But in this case, like, LeBron being the male flag bearer for the U.S.
That's awesome.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
that is an incredible honor.
Yeah.
And in terms of basketball players, no male basketball player has ever done it.
Mm-hmm.
And the only people from USA Basketball, Don Staley did it in 04, and I think Birdie did it in 21.
Mm.
So LeBron's the first, like, Mike didn't do this. Magic didn't do this. No one from the Dream Team did it.
Yeah.
And again, how many Olympics have we had? Only three basketball players have ever done it. Like,
crazy.
That type of thing is that type of thing is amazing.
We moved some breaks around, so we got to go a little earlier than normal today. I thought what LeBron said about that was like, gave me chills when he was like, I didn't even dream about this because I didn't even consider it as a possibility.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was really, really cool.
No, that's an amazing honor for LeBron. Yeah. And I mean, whoever gets it, like, that's a phenomenal honor. You talk about, like, you know, Snoop is carrying the torch into the stadium. He's part of the group. Snoop Dogg is carrying the torch into the stadium as part of the group that's going to relay it to the person who lights the cauldron.
I bet they're
who doesn't know they're lighting the cauldron yet, which I thought was actually the best part of the story.
I bet nobody is going to make a joke about him lighting something with that torch.
Nobody. No, no one will.
Exactly.
No one will make that joke. I don't care about the opening ceremony with all mm-hmm. due respect. Like, it's mm-hmm. I witnessed one live, and it could not have possibly have been more boring. Like, it was just dreadfully, dreadfully boring. And so now it's like, I'm cool. I don't need to watch this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I do love the Olympics.
Me too.
And I love, like, little story. Like, I've heard Dick Ebersol
mm-hmm.
tell the story of Muhammad Ali lighting the torch in 96, which is phenomenal because that's one of the big reveals. It's the biggest reveal. So I might not care about the opening ceremonies on Friday.
Mm.
But in 2028, I want to know who's lighting that torch because
yeah.
it's one of the it's you talk about carrying the torch or carrying the flag. Lighting that torch might be the honor
yeah.
that you can have. And like hearing like stories about how they had to get Muhammad Ali out there at like 1:30 in the morning to practice lighting the torch is phenomenal.
Incredible. Mm-hmm. More of that coming up on D-Lo and KC. James and I will be back with the Insiders tomorrow, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Until then, drink water and be nice to people. Bye.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.